have a full committee in attendance, and Youth and Government, Bryce, we will, we're not going to move to approval of minutes from the previous meeting because we do not have those. We'll move on to committee, chairman, members, supervisors, Youth and Government, comment. For those of you that haven't been to one of these on the committee, I think most of us have, this is going to be your first public comments and chance publicly to vote up or down portions of the county budget. You will have, as a committee member, at least two more times when we go through this committee's documents and budget. You will at finance be able to address things, change any item that you can get enough votes to change on the budget. And at the full county board, you will too. So this is the first chance for this committee to vote on items that pertain to this committee's budget. Not the last, for sure. We will have a presentation by members of the staff here this evening. You'll have a chance to ask questions. Everything will go through the chair at this meeting. Not that you cannot ask numerous questions to the people that are presenting, but you will be addressed by the chair to do that. There won't be conversations back and forth this evening. So we'll move on. Any committee members have any comments? Youth and Governance? Citizens' comments. Any citizen that wishes to address the committee this evening would have 5 minutes to speak on any item that would pertain to this budget or anything that this committee handles. All we ask is that you give your name and address, and any citizens wish to speak. Yes, sir. We come right up to this mic.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
It should be on.
It's on.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Dennis Hughes. I live in Milwaukee. I'm a staff representative for workers in Kenosha County, so 1652 North Humboldt Avenue in Milwaukee. I just wanted to introduce myself to this committee. I represent workers at both the Highway Department and Brookside, so I look forward to working with you in the future. I represent workers in six counties, and I can say especially the Highway Department has been a very fair employer to our workers. We have one issue that has been brought to me multiple times. It wouldn't affect the budget, but I did want to bring it up to the committee now so we can hopefully make something happen after the budget process is over. But the issue is mandatory overtime. I think it's an issue every year. Our Highway Department workers are, they basically are on call from November to April, the entire winter months. They could be called in at any moment, and so they have to be ready to work at any moment. They don't have any time to actually relax. And I know before Act 10, there was a process where half the workers were on call, mandatory overtime, on call, and half were on call for a different day, so they were kind of staggered. Now everyone's on call all the time, and so we're hoping that through this committee and hopefully just working with management, we'll be able to work out a solution that can be fair to both the county and the employees. I know the workers take extreme pride in the fact that they get these roads cleared so the police and firefighters can do their job and everyone can get to work. So everyone wants to make sure that the roads are cleared like always, but we hope there's some way that we can give some flexibility to these workers so they can have more time with their family and they can relax. I mean, sometimes they're mandated on busy weeks, they're mandated for 65 hours, and then the last day of the week, they're going to be mandated another 8 hours. It's not safe for them, it's not safe for the county if they have to go and work 70 hours a week. And so hopefully we can work something out. I look forward to working with each member of the committee. I'll reach out to you individually and see if we can come up with a solution. And I will reach out to management also, so hopefully we can meet and come to an agreement that will be good for both sides. So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I appreciate it and look forward to working with you all.
Thank you very much. Any other citizens' comments? Anybody wish to address the committee? Any items? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We're going to move on to the capital budget for the Brookside Care Center expansion and improvement project. Before we start this, I want to ask the committee and remind the committee that we had a fairly presentation you're going to receive this evening is going to be mostly on the financial end of it. If you have any questions, naturally, they will be answered. But we're not going to have the type of presentation we saw earlier in the year. I imagine everyone was at that, the full committee. Okay. So, if you're ready to roll.
Services with revenue generator, and we still would be able to provide care for our long-term clients as well as the short-term clients. So our final recommendations were to renovate the existing nursing home and to use the available land and construct a two-story, 48-bed rehab center that would have a connecting 24-bed community-based residential facility, which will generate revenue. Why this makes sense is because it's responding to market and consumer demand. We will remain financially independent and off the county tax rolls. We will have a positive cash flow. We'll improve the conditions for the residents who use Brookside services. We'll reduce exposure to changing markets by establishing a continuum. We'll address the space shortages, and we'll have room to grow the Medicare census. Reminding you, Medicare contributes $381 a day, whereas Medicaid loses $136, and private pays price to break even. The deliverables with this project, with proceeding with this project, are financially, it will be self-sustaining. We will serve the need for increased memory care population growth. It will allow us to grow our Medicare rehab business and our outpatient therapy business in the years to come. And it will allow us to provide care for even more Kenosha County citizens in the future. Lori's here, she's going to go over the financial model. And if there's any, when you have questions, Mike Holtz is here from Epstein and Architects. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I just stand here?
You can stand anywhere you want. But I want to remind the committee that Jim had asked if there was any questions. And he said he hadn't received any. So I'm pretty sure we're pretty well versed in everything.
Okay.
You go ahead and stand wherever you want.
I only got two slides.
Okay.
So we gave you back on August 19th the financial projections, which was a 20-year out because it was the length of the debt service. And there is no tax levy included in that forecast. Brookside is on track still through September to give back not only what they had budgeted for this year for operational revenues, but additional money, so it'll be altogether just under $1 million excess operational revenue the end of 2014. The bottom of this slide tells you a 20-year census growth of what we're projecting from 2015 to 2036. You can see how Medicare is increasing 46.3%, private pay is 6.9%, and then the reduction to make up the 150 beds is through Medicaid. So the total bonding or the cost of the project, the construction cost of the project, is the 48-bed rehab is approximately $7.8 million estimated. The 24-bed CBRF, which is 4.4. The existing nursing home area is about 4.3. And then that fourth line item, the major capital repairs for existing area, that's 1.7. And I just want to remind you that 1.7 would probably be in the capital improvement project plan for the next 5 years, no matter what happens, because the building is, as Fran has said, 20 years old. And then the bottom of the slide just shows the breakdown of the debt service between the nursing home cost and the new CBRF. And at the end of the 20 years, we show a net cash flow of $7.8 million. So we gave you the big presentation on August 19th at the county board. Last Wednesday, we gave you a lot of supplemental information. There were a lot of questions and answers from some county board supervisors, and we hope we answered those and gave you some information reports-wise that we did. As Fran said, we did a market study. They did an update on the market study. So if there are no other further questions tonight, we're here. You're the first of four meetings that we're going to for approval for the project itself.
Thank you. Committee,
I have a question.
Yes.
Just a comment, I guess sort of a comment first. probably one of the most, I would say, orchestrated, put together, well-formed presentations you can. Of course, we are talking about a lot of money, so it makes sense that we would do that. And through the chair to Fran, you know, if we try to get our minds around this, really, one of the biggest components of this is trying to grow the Medicare census. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we take a look at the current rate of $381 a day. I think it's good for the people in this room, Finance Committee, Human Services, all the other committees to understand that we're trying to keep this portion of the concern going so we can have the other things that Brookside does well, which is private pay, which is Medicaid, and all these different things, you know, adds kind of this as a linchpin. Just from your perspective, Fran, if you take a look at the $381 per day, how often is that adjusted by the federal government?
The $381 per day is basically what we make on a Medicare patient. The charges or what the fees are anywhere from $700 a day down to $180.
Oh, so this is the net?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So how often is that adjusted?
Every year, usually every year, they need to do it. This year, we're expecting a 2% increase again.
So I guess one of the biggest questions going forward is, you've seen this in the past, you've seen that Medicare has come along and kept pace with the prevailing rates. No one can look in the crystal ball and say for sure, but we're anticipating that this is still going to be the driving engine going forward to take us into our expansions at the ARPA fund. That's my question, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President. The others? Mr. President, you're in the
chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I went to a business roundtable a couple weeks ago with Senator Ron Johnson. And Senator Johnson said Medicare and Social Security would have a $25 trillion deficit in the next 20 years. And from the supplemental information report we received in our packets there, on page 5, it said, few public officials are predicting Medicare's demise, but most agree that a long-term solution is needed. And that's what we're looking for. We don't have that solution at this point. So that's my concern.
No question. Okay. Supervisor, yes.
Through you to either one of the things. We talked about 2% increase traditionally per year. Obviously, Affordable Care Act has changed the perspectives as we start looking at the future. You're taking, and I've heard anywhere from $600 billion to $800 billion out of Medicare to help fund the Affordable Care Act. Has that been taken into any of the projections or the analysis that you did to that? Are those any of the scenarios that you ran, those types of reductions, as opposed to traditional 2% increases?
We have not used 2%. We were very conservative on increase in revenues. So it was anywhere between a 1 to 1.5 on all three payer sources. So I never went up to 2% on the financial forecast for revenues. But no, I have not. I don't know how to base something on an $800 trillion.
I understand. It's though, but if funding on the Medicare side is cut, I think I heard that question asked in the past, but I didn't hear if there was ever a response on it. Were any projections run where the Medicare funding is cut? Because you already know Medicaid is not good, and private pay breaks even, or maybe, you know, you're a little profit on that. Mm-hmm. But we need to take a look at, and the reason that I'm getting at this is because this is the same type of approach or projection that was run when they decided to bond and expand the golf operations beyond where they should be, and we've been struggling with that. So I want to make sure that we're looking at not just what the best case or even conservative, what about the worst case?
Okay. Well, two things. First of all, my revenues are worst case. I mean, they're not, they're very conservative, and my expenditures are higher than what I think would have come in. So that is how I budget. But the second thing is that's why we added the CVRF. The 24-bed CVRF, because that also generates revenue to help offset anything that we would go forward with any of our costing projections on the nursing home side.
Bonding for $18 million is, when we're sitting as a county at $100 million, it's a lot of work. And I'm just not that optimistic right now with our economy the way it is. And I probably tend to be on the more conservative side of objections. I want to commend Fran and your entire staff and the administration on putting together this proposal, but what you've been able to do over the last 4, 5, 6 years, going from the red into the black, and you are to be commended for that. One of the things that I see is you've really taken a look at it and says, you know, we need to run this as though it's a private entity, and thus allow it to be self-sustaining, and you have done that. Were any projections or any analysis done looking at what if you were a standalone entity? Outside of ownership or control of the county, have you ever looked into that proposal?
You mean if it wasn't owned by Kenosha County?
Correct.
We have somewhat, because I have no way of knowing what the value would be on the market for Brookside. It varies, you know, from $500 a bed to $3,000 a bed. So, it pretty much is dictated by if there is a buyer. With the help of Leading Age Wisconsin, we did look at just recently what other counties have done as far as when they've sold their nursing home and how much they got and, you know, how old they were, and it just was all across the board. We do know that there is an economic impact, that the fact that Brookside is in operation to Kenosha County, and I think you have that in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is.
Yes.
I can't tell you what page, okay?
Yeah, but every 2 years we have an economic impact analysis on what benefit Brookside is. So I guess that from a financial standpoint, you know, if you had a buyer, I mean, you're going to lose jobs, good paying jobs, and that's just from a financial aspect. The other aspect is that Brookside is a very beloved entity in Kenosha County by the citizens.
I am aware that a lot of my district is west of the I, and so I took the time to just ask a few constituents that didn't necessarily grow up east of the I. I hate to use those analogies, but it's true. Many of them west of the I had no idea. I was surprised, to be honest with you, whereas my constituents to the east side were a little bit more familiar with it, unless they had an uncle or an aunt or maybe a mother or father that were in the facility. But the reason I bring that up is because I look at the job you guys have done. I look at the capabilities that you have, and I just see endless possibilities for you in a free market system and not as a government entity. As we learn, of the 72 counties in Wisconsin, 30 do not have healthcare facilities. Now, I realize that you guys started there. Brookside's been around for, I think, close to 100 years, if not a little bit more. A lot longer than I've been around. And you've done a very good job of coming along. I think when it was originally started to where it is now, maybe a lot of philosophy has changed.
Okay.
And the reason that I bring that up is because I'm very interested in finding out whether or not that was something that was investigated. And, Mr. Chairman, what I would like to do is I would like to make a motion to amend a proposal to have the administration to fully investigate what the possibility or probability of divesting Brookside from county government ownership, allowing it to be a private sector entity. And the reason that I am leaning that way and want to make this motion is because it would allow the revenue from that sale to pay off all existing long-term debt. In addition, it would return it to the tax rolls. It's not going to physically go anywhere. And I think that this is an excellent opportunity to look to take a look at it. Because I look at nursing care facility as well as golf as two areas where the county doesn't need to be involved. Very capable of running. And so I'm making that motion tonight.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded, I understand this correctly, to advise the county executive to look into privatizing and selling Brookside.
Correct.
Basically. Okay. Any other discussion on that? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion fails. Anything else?
Just a comment going forward. It may have been in the update, Lori and Fran, to talk about the drawing power that Brookside has. It's admittedly senior citizens, mortgage population. How can we as a county rate in terms of a scorecard, report card, compared to other counties in the area? Are we an older county? It's trending more towards the senior care. Are we right in the middle of the pack? Does anyone have a handle on this? We should know this information going forward, you know, different communities and so on. Is that brought up?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing because there's a fan behind me.
How does Kenosha County? How is this? Any better or not?
Yeah.
How does Kenosha County rate overall in terms of relative age of its citizens? Are we middle of the pack, high, low? Where do we stand in that regard?
It is in the market, the recent market analysis. It's listed there, and I can't remember it offhand, but I don't think we're exceptional by no means. I think we were a little bit lower in the percentage of population that's going to grow that is 85 years and older than average, but not a significant amount. That was the one thing I remember.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anything else?
There's just as a point of, there on Appendix A, which we sent out last Wednesday, A2 has the update to the market study, and A-1 page demographic data. It shows all of them broken down between 55 and 64, and 65 and 74, and we kind of, our 75 to 84 population is less than the 65, the 55 to 74.
At this point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Yes, sir. Supervisor Clark.
I'll make a motion to approve the, as it was presented this evening, and pass it on to the next committee and also the finance committee.
Second.
Move and second to pass the initial resolution authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $18,550,000. I believe that's the figure out for Brookside Care Center improvements. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
To the governance?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Nay.
Motion carries. So, Al?
I'm going to ask the resolution.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
All right, now we're going to move on to the budget and CIP projects for the Division of Highway, Golf Parks, Facilities, and Planning. Whatever order you gentlemen and ladies would like to go in.
I'll get it out.
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fred, we passed out a packet, and we'll go in the same order that the packet is in.
Okay.
There's five departments. We'll start with planning and development. You guys can all hear me, right?
Okay.
Planning and development, their budget is actually approved by the PDEC committee, which met last week. But since planning and development is part of the public works, I just want everyone here to know it's the first page. We'll just go through it real quick. And it just shows the numbers. Then we'll move into parks, golf, highway, and facilities. And we'll go to each page. We'll talk about the budget, both operating and capital for that department. And then we will have that approved, that chunk of the budget approved for each department. That's what we typically do here. So the first page is planning development, and all these reports are pretty much the same. The top part is the expenses of the little table. Then the middle section is revenues, and then it shows a net. And all of our departments have to net out to zero. In other words, expenses have to equal revenues. And underneath revenues, there's various sources, and then there's a line for levy, which is the tax part. Planning and Development Department, all these numbers tie out to what's in your budget book, and we have the pages in there that the budget book is on. If you need to go back to your budget book, just stop me if you need to ask a question or if you need to have something pointed out in the budget book where it's at. A couple just quick comments in total. The entire Public Works Department is showing a levy decrease from the adopted budget of 2014 to the proposed budget for 2015. So the levy, the tax, we're asking, it's going down. An overall comment about headcount, there really isn't any headcount. We're added one person in two different departments, which we'll talk to when we get to parks and highway. I think we'll just start in with planning and development.
Yeah.
The expenses from 2014 to 2015 are going up $3,561. There's some in personnel. We have the same headcount there. The salary increase is just the average salary increase that's given to every department, and all of the departments are like that. It's one. I think it's 1.5% halfway through the year. I think that's what was in the budget, right?
Yeah, but it's not in this part of the budget.
It's not in this part of the budget, okay.
It's not in the budget yet.
So anything that's in these is just a step increase or a normal increase. There's nothing extra for anybody in any of the budgets for public works. We also have a small decrease in expenses for sewer PAC. It's a couple $1,000s. That's based on a state number that we get. The revenue numbers for land conservation state aid are going down. That's based on a number that the state gives us. Permits and land use fees are being budgeted down. That's based on historical, and then the planning development's people's estimate of what will happen in 2015. And the development revenue and verification, there's a small decrease from $10,000 to $5,000. We're going to fund part of this budget, $78,000, with a carryover from 2014. There's an amount we budgeted in 2014 for some consulting fees, which we did not use. We're planning to carry those over into 2015 and use that. And then the levy decreases $38,000. I will make a comment that when we met with PDEC, they had some comments about the carryover, and those will be passed along to the Finance Committee. So we don't really need a budget or a vote on this department or on this budget.
Basically, for information, any questions or comments from the committee? Not Jim.
Okay, page two, the top. There are six small departments on this page, only one of which has levy, and that's the Board of Adjustment. Their levy is about $8,000. In all these departments, the top four are planning and development, and the two on the bottom relate to parks. So out of the Board of Adjustment, there's no difference in the budget from 2014 to 2015. For the tree planting program, the same thing. There's no levy in tree planting program. The pre-development or the land and water management, whatever, they're not, they just spend what they get, or if they get it, they spend it. So all those budgets are the same from 2014 to 2015, and the only one that has a levy is the Board of Adjustment. Those are lumped in with the Planning and Development Department. The two on the bottom, dog parks and mountain bike trails, they're part of parks, which we're going to talk about next. But I'll just mention that both dog parks and mountain bike trails, the amounts for dog parks are the same from year to year. They are planning to spend $20,000. They're planning to take in revenue. They cannot spend more than they take in. There is no levy. So if they take in a dollar, all they can spend is a dollar. And the same with the mountain bike trails. The reason the mountain bike trails went up from 2014 to 2015 is it was brand new in 2014, halfway through the year. 2015 will be the first full year. We've been putting mountain bike trails in Silver Lake Park, and the Mountain Bike Association, people are coming in, helping install these trails, and it's a good thing. And again, we can only spend whatever donations we get. So those two must be considered when we talk about the total parks budget, which is on page 3. Now this department, we will have a vote on when we get done with this page. At the bottom, the top part is the operations, where we show the expenses and the revenue. Then the middle section is the notes explaining the expense, any change, significant changes in revenue or expenses. I'll just put this up here for those of you.
While Jim's doing that, I'm going to remind people that we have food over in this corner over here. Some very good sandwiches and coffee and soda, things if anybody hasn't eaten and this meeting gets dragging on. There's, I should have said that earlier, but there's some very nice sandwiches and things over there. You guys are more than welcome.
And Brookside made the food.
Not from the jail, it's from Brookside. We used to do it from the jail.
Okay, Parks Department. Parks Department levy is going to go down. Well, it's basically it's flat. It's $125. We will fund, I'll talk about their expenses first. Personnel is going to go down about $18,000. In this department, we have added a deputy director. It's part of succession planning for John Rudy, who will be retiring soon. He's not given us a date. That'll be a sad day when John leaves, but we are planning ahead, so when he does go, we'll have somebody in place. Seasonal payroll, it's basically flat from 2014 to 2015. We budget by the hours, and they're pretty much the same. It's actually going down about $7,000. Medical insurance is going down a little bit. It's not because of really any changes in the plans per se. It's changes people who are in there might have changed from single to family, and we actually budget for each individual person at that level. Other operating expenses, we're going to have about a $5,000 increase. It's just because of increasing costs and maintaining the parks and the grounds. Gas will go up slightly based on historical experience, although right now it looks like the price of gas is falling, but we put a little extra in there for the budget. Motor vehicle expenses, we've had some really good experience. We hired a mechanic there last year, the year before, and since he's come on board, our expenses for maintaining vehicles has gone down significantly. Does a good job. Building maintenance supplies, there's a small increase based on our historical experience. Pringle donation, we're asking for an additional $1,800 to help offset some of their rising expenses. Park revenues have gone down, the trend is down, so we budgeted them $30,000 down. A lot of it is beach revenues from Silver Lake and a little bit from shelter revenues declining. So that's based on historical experience. So in total, revenue is going to be flat. We'll fund part of it with carryover. Again, we had some consulting expenses budgeted for 2014 that we did not use. Rather than re-levy that money, or re-levy it, we will just carry it over and use it next year, if we need to use it. We don't just use it because it's there. If we don't need it, if we don't think we need it, we don't budget it, we don't spend it. On the capital side for parks, down on the bottom, there's a list of 7 or 8 different projects. And the capital part is in the CIP in your folder or in your book from pages 64 to 82. A lot of these things, anything over $25,000 is listed in those pages item by item. They need a rotary lift, a chemical storage unit, one-ton truck. $50,000 there is for Kemper to be used for them to spend money to update and improve their facilities. There's a couple of utility carts to replace ones that are coming out of rotation because they are old and are beyond repair. Pike River Shoreline Stabilization, that's a project that will be totally grant funded. We're working on that grant. It's $540,000. You go down a few lines, you'll see it in a line called grant funding. That grant funding line of $615,000 is made up of the $540,000 plus waste management gives us $75,000 every year, which we turn around. The $75,000 we spend it. We have to spend it in our parks for certain items that they approve of. And then also, and that's $75,000 is in parkland development, along with an additional $100,000 that we use for other park improvements. For Kemper, for those of you who haven't met, there's a couple gentlemen here from Kemper. Don Gillespie, who's the executive director, and Tom Orendorf, who's the treasurer. And they come to all of our meetings and speak on behalf of Kemper. So if you have any questions, I gave you a handout. I know it was kind of last minute. We can get any of those questions answered. That's their annual report for 2013. It gives you a feeling for what they've been up to the last year, the various functions they've had. It shows some of their numbers. So I don't know if either you guys want to say anything.
Thanks, Mr. Kupfer, Chairman Elberman, supervisors, and professional staff. My name is Don Gillespie. I'm the president of Kemper Center Incorporated, and I'm joined this evening with our treasurer, Tom Orendorf. Our relationship with Kenosha County has been, I believe, fruitful for both the citizens of Kenosha, Kenosha County Parks, and Kemper Center Incorporated. Traditionally, Kenosha County has funded a total of $150,000 a year toward the Kemper Center. $100,000 helps defray operations and programming, and $50,000 is used for maintenance and restoration. In a typical year, that $50,000 is we look to double it. And some sad years we've had since the recent recession, we've maybe got have again as much restoration work done by finding outside donors to help us complete the projects. This year, just as an example, Cliff Peterson invested $10,000 in restoring a wall on the old Simmons Garden Foundation and rebuilding a garden down there. We used the programming dollars to ramp up to about $800,000 a year budget, or on top of that, through activities that we hold on the campus that are devoted toward recognizing the historical significance of the property and the grounds and promoting historic and cultural education, including the arts. We've just finished a research project on Senator Charles Durkee that focuses on his life when he was the governor of the Utah Territory, which will, in its culmination, provide us with a reader book that we can share with the education community in Kenosha and a searchable database for scholarly work on that. We're certainly pleased with our relationship with Supervisor Frederick, who's been a county appointee to our board of directors, and we welcome all the contributions of a man like John Rudy as a member of our Building and Grounds Committee. Thank you for your brief time.
Thank you.
That is it for parks. Any questions?
Yes, we're very great.
Just want to make sure I understand some of these items on page 3. Through the Chair, if you can do that. For the shoreline stabilization grant, John, that's $540,000 for the waterway that flows through Petrine Springs to stabilize the banks.
Right.
Is that done as a one-year project? It's all going to be done in 2015?
It actually would be almost 2 years, and that's 100% grant funded.
Right, okay. So that will be through the entire Petrifying Springs Park as needed, that's the plan?
Yeah, go through the entire park, and then there's an additional year that I come back and make sure the plans are established along the shorelines.
Okay. Then the last item on the page that I'm interested in is the parkland development, $175,000. If I understand the funding source, it's $100,000 in the executive's budget and $75,000 in waste management, is that right? And I just see in the description we're going to be using at least some of that for the Emerald Ash Borer infestation. Any other earmarks or plans for this particular line item?
Generally, what that is would be used for is sometimes unannounced things that come up during the year. We have used it for numerous things, so it's purchasing a property. We have even used it for purchasing adjacent property, and it's been a fund that's been quite movable.
That's all my questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything else?
Yes, sir.
Point of clarification, Jeff. I thought that the 75, you'd made a point about the 75,000 from waste management being added into the shoreline stabilization, but then it's included in the 175,000. Is that just for accounting purposes? In all reality, the 75,000, if the grant of 540 is given, it will be used for shoreline stabilization.
Yeah, the $75,000 from waste management has nothing to do with shoreline stabilization.
It does not? Okay.
No, so it's parkland development.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
If I misspoke, that's my boo-boo.
I just did hear you. That was it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? So I'm going to ask for a separate motion to approve each department.
Make a motion to approve this particular passing of the budget.
Second.
By Supervisor Bates and by Supervisor Frederick. Approve the parks budget as presented. Any further questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So this will go on as a recommendation to the finance committee. Okay, Jim.
Thank you very much. Page four is golf. Golf is not supported by, not budgeted for any kind of levy. The last 2 years, we've broke even, made a little bit of money on golf. We always budget to break even in golf. Their expenses, there's an increase in the personnel line. Salaries is a small increase. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Overtime is a decrease. We'll use we're talking about $10,000 I think this year and $5,000 next year. They've been doing a good job of utilizing their staff and not working as much overtime. Temporary salaries, which is where the bulk of they spend their money, that's very much flat from 2014 to 2015. There's no FTE, no headcount changes in this department, same amount of hours. Medical insurance is up, and it's just because there's some people who did have a single or no plan, and now they're going to family. Miscellaneous contractual services, which shows in the $14,000 increase, the biggest number of that is in our increase in annual maintenance contracts. Concession stock, which is underneath the supplies line, there's an increase in volume. There's an increase in the cost of the inventory, but it's offset by revenues increase. And fixed expenses, the biggest number in there is debt service. debt service is about, I think it's the principal is $325,000 in both years, something like that. I'm going off memory. It's in your book. But interest goes from about $25,000 down to about half of that. It's our last year of debt service for the golf course, 2015. So there's a decrease there. And since we budget flat, no levy in this department, from 2014 to 2015, the revenues will increase about 2.8%. On the bottom is the capital for the golf area. There's restaurant equipment. We have to replace restaurant equipment every year. Something goes out, a cooler or a refrigerator or something. So we'll have $5,000 in there. $132,000, which we will spend on golf course irrigation every year. We have, they've done a really good job out there. The white course at Brightondale is all fixed up. It's beautiful. All the cart paths are done. All the irrigation's done. Pets, there's nothing in that we need to do next year for pets, so we will spend this irrigation money on Brightondale Blue. There's also a wastewater treatment plant out at Brightondale and a sewer line, which we can replace the equipment at the wastewater treatment plant with that $40,000. It's like a miniature wastewater treatment plant. It has to pass all kinds of tests. The equipment is old and needs to be kept up to date so we can pass those tests. And then golf carts, we're in year, this will be year two of a three to four year replacement. We spent $110,000, $120,000 this year. We'll spend $150,000 next year. And this is net of any trade-in that we get. So we'll, the capital proposed is $332,000 for golf. Any questions on golf?
Yes, Mr. Poole.
Do you have any estimate, you know, what our profit will be on or loss, you know, in the golf department this year?
Through the end of last month, our revenues were down, but our expenses were down more than the revenues were down. So we're anticipating breaking even again.
Okay. Jim, I realize that finally we're getting out from underneath the burden of this long-term debt. And I probably saw it, I just don't remember the numbers. Off the top of your head, how much are we paying long-term debt right now?
For golf?
Yeah, for the golf operation. For the,
The principal is $325.
Okay.
And then the interest next year will be around $15,000.
So almost plus what we're talking about.
Yeah.
In capital improvements.
Yeah.
And thank you. I'm a big advocate of golf. Another entity that the county should have never gotten into and shouldn't be into. But you can't get out from underneath this one, unlike Brookside, which is a profitable entity, which is very marketable. And this one, nobody's building courses, so we're kind of stuck with it. It'd be nice if the taxpayers could just get a little relief from the golf operations, because for many years they were in the red and the levy was supporting it. Now finally we're either in the black or at least breaking even. Although I do realize, because I've talked to Mr. Dreyer enough times to understand that the irrigation part, if you don't have the facilities because you can't take care of them, no one's going to come. The equipment side, he gave me some clarity on that. Apparently, it's not just all carts for the course. Some of it is maintenance and whatnot. As far as the capital, or is it? Is it
there's no equipment in here for main, like mowers or any of that. There's nothing in the 2015 plan. For
so essentially, what we're getting back, we're giving up again here in the CIP. And what? Because I didn't look at it. Is it, are these proposed to be 10 or 20 year bonds?
They're 10 years, aren't they, Al?
They're 10 years, yeah.
10 years? No, I'm sorry.
They're part of our overall power. They're 10 years.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anything else?
The motion to approve golf budget is presented.
Second. Motion by Supervisor Brady, seconded by Supervisor Frederick to adapt the golf budget as presented. Let's send it all. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any governments?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Page 5, highway. And actually, highway, I lied before. I said they were all on one page. If I put the highway one on one page, it'd be too small. So we've got the operating part on page 5 and all the projects listed on page 6. So we'll talk about page 5, which is the operations side. Expenses for the highway department in 2014 were budgeted at, in total, at $8,165,000. In 2015, they are budgeted at $8,726,000, an increase of $561,000. When you go down to the second section about revenues, revenues will keep pace, but most of the revenue increase, it will not come from levy. In fact, there'll be a $200,000 decrease in the highway department on levy. The increase comes from the state of Wisconsin, which has will give us, right this year, we're getting about $2,575,000 for local transportation aids. Next year, and these are pretty solid numbers because they've given us letters saying the letter on local transportation aids is actually a little bit more than $2,800. And then the state revenue, which they give us an estimation of the work that they will pay us to do on their roads, is going from 2850 to 3203. So those are two solid numbers that show about a $600,000 increase. In addition, there's a line there for municipal revenues, which is the work that our highway folks do. They ask us around here to do, and that's going to increase $200,000. And as a result, since we're generating all this additional revenue, the expenses are more than covered and levy goes down. On the expense side, salaries, we have added in, there's really no FTE increase. There's a headcount increase of one, and that's for a deputy director, because we feel very sad about Mr. Rudy's imminent departure, and we feel equally sad about Gary Sipsma. We're not exactly sure when he's going to go, but we have to get somebody in to take over for him. So we budgeted in a deputy director to eventually replace Mr. Sipsma. Moment of silence. Overtime. It wasn't a moment, it was 5 seconds. Overtime. We're going to increase based on our actual spending history from 2014 to 2015. We did not budget enough in 2014, and they worked a lot of overtime in 2014. You heard the gentleman over here speak to that. Vacation, we're increasing that based on actual spending history. Medical insurance, there's an increase due to personnel changes, not because we have more people, but just because more the people that we have switched from either a single or a no plan to family. Utilities is going to go up a few thousand dollars based on actual spending history. Miscellaneous contractual services, there's a $10,000 forecasted increase in pavement marking. Other operating, and most of these budgets, everything that's going up, we have to do more because we're being asked to do more. The state comes in and says, we're going to give you an extra $225,000 so you can take care of your county roads. The state says we're going to ask you to do an extra $350,000 of work that we haven't asked you to do before. We have to incur some expense when we do that. Some of it is better utilization of the labor, but a lot of it is we have to go and buy the supplies, which we turn around and just bill back to them. So where all these expense increases are just turned around and billed back. It's just a volume increase with the same budgeted headcount. So it means we have to get more work out of the same people. Field tools, again, it's an increase in expenses for the state and municipal work. Road oil, increase based on historical spending, and other roadway supplies, which we will have to buy in order to use for this state and municipal work. I know I might have gone through that pretty quick, but expenses go up, revenues go up, we have to spend the money, and we turn around and bill it out to complete all these various projects.
Any questions?
Before we go to the projects, yeah, we might want to stop here and ask.
I'd just like to say I understand that the gas and diesel fuel went down $40,000, but I do commend you if that was the case there.
2014 was not a good year for gas. and we thought gas prices might go down a little bit, and I don't expect what's happening at the pump right now to continue. But it's a $600,000 budget. But I can't remember the exact number for gas.
From 740 down to 700.
Yeah.
Questions?
Just one line item. So this line is contractual services, increasing payment marking. When you say contractual service, that means we're building it out for another entity to do it besides the highway department. We're talking about our own strike and so forth.
We have it for years.
Oh, really?
That's awesome. Yeah, we did have it. Our own crew did that.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we had the entrance ramp issue with them not being properly highlighted and demarcated, we had the stripes for the entrance to the interstate off of the front roads. That was refreshed about 3 or 4 years ago. Are we looking at any type of similar situation that we're looking at here, or what is this specifically for?
It's just an increase in the lineal fee that we are going to be paying. We don't stripe every road every year, but we have found that we need to increase that percentage of roads that are restriped every year a little bit, just because wear and tear on the roads based on traffic volumes.
So this is on an as-needed basis. This is not project-specific to one particular project that we're trying to accomplish with this line item, correct?
No, it's just an increase in the total that's required on the center lines.
That's my question. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, Jim.
Okay, page 6 is the projects for the highway department for next year. The first few is items is equipment that we'll purchase or asking to purchase for next year. 2 pickup trucks, paver screed, a wheel loader, asphalt roller, tandem axle truck, single axle truck. Those first items add up to about $910,000 for equipment. The rest of the projects are all various highway projects. I can read them, or you guys can look at them, or if you studied. It's going to be a busy year.
Question.
Really cool.
The multi-use paths, are those bike trails? Are those walking trails somewhere? Or this is my first time at that, so I'm kind of confused what those are.
They're 10-foot wide asphalt paths that are adjacent to the road, to the highway. They're not connected to the actual travel lanes. They're offset from the travel lanes in their separate 10-foot wide paths. Or multiple uses, anything other than motor vehicles are allowed to be on these paths.
About how many miles would you estimate that is?
I can tell you, but I'd have to look at it.
You know, just pick one up and tell me approximately how many miles you think that is.
Highway C1 is 0.9 miles. The Pike River path along Highway 31 is 1.4 miles. And the Highway E path is 3/4 mile.
Okay, so it looks like it's about roughly $100,000 per month, right?
Well, we get a rebate back on those paths. Down below, there's an item called revenue. And on those three items, are those the 75% ones, Gary?
Those are 80%. Federally funded, 20% county funded.
You said 80-20?
80-20,
About $100,000, we'll pay $20,000, we'll get revenue back.
In the back of the book under CIP on 83 through 118, each one of those projects has a spending. And a lot of these are partial, where you'll have engineering in 1 year, then you'll have the right-of-way purchase in the next year, then you'll have construction in a future year. Some of them are in progress where we've already done the engineering or done the engineering in the right-of-way, and all we have left is a construction. And most of them do have some kind of a payback. The last item there, the transportation infrastructure improvements, the $1.6 million, there's no payback involved with that. That's the paving that our crew does on our county roads. And our cost per mile is about $140,000, and we're going to do 13, 14 miles next year. That's what we budget for. That's what we shoot for every year.
Question, Supervisor.
I didn't see it in the CIP at all, the completion of Highway K from beyond where the schools are out to Highway H. Where are we looking at for that? What year are we looking at for that project?
I know it's in the budget for a future year. It's not designated for a year. It is in the Highway Capital Plan on page 83, but it's way out to the right in a future project year. I think it's $3.5 million, 3.4, if that's the one you're talking about.
Probably.
Yeah.
You looking at K?
Yeah, the remainder of K.
It's in the transportation improvement program, but it's in the 5 to 10 year period.
Okay.
So it will not show up in the CIP, which is in the end of 5 year.
Okay, but it's been pushed back then?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
On the monthly expense that we get reimbursed on, mm-hmm. that we bond for it and then they reimburse us after completion, is that how it works?
Yes.
Considering the condition of some of our roads, I was not inclined to support $300,000 on multi-use paths when we could spend. I'm not opposed to bonding, but I know a highway in my district alone is like a washboard, and we're only in October. I can't imagine, but we all know how bad they are, so that's what I was concerned. So we'll finish, we'll submit, they'll reimburse us,
yes.
And then that'll go directly for debt service, or is it going on the general fund when they reimburse us? It's okay if you don't know, I'm just curious.
What's the question?
He wants to know when we get the money back, the 80% back, what fund it goes into. It just stays in the highway fund.
It stays in the highway fund.
Okay.
It offsets, I mean, we just use our cash flow to pay for the expenditure, and then we get reimbursed for it.
Okay. But in the long run, what we're being reimbursed for, we're bonding on, does it go towards the
debt service? You're not bonding on that because you're net of revenue.
We bond the net.
Only bonding for the 20%.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. That's all.
Any other questions, comments? Doug, we're looking for a motion on the highway.
Motion for the highway portion of the budget.
Moved by Supervisor Frederick. We have a second.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skolitsky. Do the governors. You go first.
Go ahead. Okay. Motion to approve. Not your name.
Oh, aye.
You're first. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Facilities,
page 7. Again, the headcount from total headcount is the same from 2014 to 2015. The levy for the facilities division is going up $35,000. It's mostly going up because the revenues in that area are going down. Parking structure revenues. We had planned $25,000 this year. I think we're going to be a little shy of that. We'll be down $23,000. Traffic fines. We budgeted $320,000 for this year. Our plan for next year is lower than that. Our experience is showing. A couple years ago it was higher, but it's lower this year, and I think it'll be lower next year. And we rent out a chunk of the public safety building back to the city of Kenosha, and that will be down a couple thousand dollars. In total, expenses for facilities will be an increase of $5,000, and the revenues, the levy will have to go up slightly to cover that. We'll talk a little bit about expenses. Utilities, there's a small decrease in here from 2014 to 2015. Last week you read in the paper about gas prices going down. The supply was supposed to be up. They said it's going down. Today you read in the paper about electricity. The supply is going down, but the price is going up, so your guess is as good as mine. I didn't go look at any futures this year. We just budgeted it basically flat from year to year. And last year was a horrible year for utilities for 2014. The spring and or the winter was very bad. So there's a small decrease. Building equipment maintenance, which is in that contracted services section, we're showing a decrease from 2014 to 2015, which is offset by an increase in the maintenance expenses. In 2014 budget, I had planned that the expense would go down for that our expense would go up. We had put in the plan to do, I think it was $60,000 worth of studies at our facilities to find out if we were using our HVAC equipment and our generators and all that. We found a way, we formed a committee with the help of UW Extension, and we found a way to do these studies for basically nothing using Wisconsin Energies. So we took that money out of the budget for 2014 into 2015. We've done, I think, three buildings so far this year, and we'll plan on doing some more there. It's called a level two study, and I can fill you guys in if you want on the details. So we're having a decrease in these expenses and the contracted services side. We don't need to do that. The good news, well, it's not really good news. The bad news is that on the supply side for 2014, we did not budget enough for all the repairs and maintenance that we're having to do this year. We will be probably over that. Well, we will be over that $283,000 budget. We've had several projects. We've had three HVAC units, not totally crap out, but exchange units that had to be replaced. We had to do some re-landscaping downtown at the courthouse. Last winter killed a bunch of the stuff, so we had to replace it. It went into that account. We're just spending more. So there's an offset from these studies into the actual expenses that we're having to spend this year, which I think will continue into next year. Hopefully when we get done with the studies and do this plan for equipment, it'll help us decide and better prioritize which pieces of equipment to replace. So it's a flip-flop from one place to another place. Then there's the fixed expenses, which really the largest amount in there is we incur expenses at the job center for maintaining that facility and using the people there, and we cross-charge those expenses out to their various customers. And the expenses at the job center, the expenses downtown campus, KCDC, KCC are up. At the job center, they're down. We'll be cross-charging out less money, so that fixed expense, it's a smaller cross-charge, shows as a smaller credit. I don't know if that's confusing, but that's the story. That's how that works. So total expenses for the facilities division are basically flat from 2014 budget to 2015 budget. Well, there's one other thing I want to mention. There is a number in here. There's a communication budget for 911, which is $163,000. It's in both 2014 and 2015. It's a levied item, but it's the budget's flat from one year to the next. So the expense is not in here, but there's no levy increase because that amount is budgeted the same. That's the facilities operations side. There's a lot of moving parts here, a lot of different departments, 31 people.
Any questions so far? So everybody does understand. This is every building that we own and operate. This could be anywhere from the detention center out to, I think we've had a study done of all the buildings we've say everything that's in this budget.
Okay, page 8 is a list of the facilities projects that'll be keeping Frank and Mike Strand busy next year. We break this down into 4 different chunks. The Civic Center is every building that we own except for the Public Safety Building and the Job Center. And there's several smaller projects there. Renovate holding cells at the KCDC. We have to replace some doors and things. When the prisoners come in, they tend to destroy things. We're going to buy one more, which we can use at a couple of different facilities. A generator for the Silver Lake, I think, believe that one's for the Silver Lake Tower. We're going to renovate one courtroom. We got to replace the fire alarm system at the courthouse. The system is obsolete. You can't get the parts anymore. We're going to replace security doors at KCDC. We're actually doing, I think, a half dozen this year, and this is the rest of them. There was like 15 doors altogether. So we'll finish that project next year. We'll replace the backup batteries for the IT center downtown. We'll do some LED light conversions. These are outside lights. We have a project going right now this year, which I think this committee approved the other night for $10,000. We got a grant that's going to finish up 3 or 4 small projects. This is a much bigger project. All these LED light conversions, they have 3 to 4 year paybacks, and the lights last for 10 years, so they're a good deal. And I'm just going to skip ahead to the Public Safety Building real quick. We'll come back to the Civic Center. They want a floor cleaning machine for $7,600. By the way, if you haven't been in the courthouse, see the floors, cruise in there. They're beautiful. A battery replacement at the Public Safety Building for their IT equipment that's located in there. Replace some exhaust fans. Again, another fire panel in the Public Safety Building. These are old. They need to be replaced. Their parts are hard to find. And then there's some security modifications. That's a number of items, some doors, and things added in the Public Safety Building. The first one to renovate holding cells was at the KCTC. And moving to Human Service Building, they're requesting a carpet shampooer, again, a generator for their IT closet. And then we had a child care center in that building that has been empty. We don't do child care there anymore. So we're going to start to renovate that large room. When we had Amazon come in, they needed a big place to hold all their interviews and stuff. They were looking for a big space. We were barely able to meet their needs. So in order to make sure that we have one big spot where we can do this, we're going to start to renovate that room. This is a chunk of that renovation. Underneath capital projects, there's Kid Cab restoration, which is underway right now. And then there's the Shalom Center and Emergency Family Center.
We have Gail Getz here to speak on that issue if you'd like any information.
I can speak to that if you want me to explain it a little bit. Or...
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is our executive director, Frank Hansen, for the Shalom Center. I'm on the board of directors. And we are in the process of this money actually goes back a few years.
Right.
We were at one time doing capital campaign, and we were looking will, house our, we call it the Emergency Family Center because it's going to house our emergency family shelter, it will house our AIDS program, and it will house our soup kitchen, and it will house all of our administrative offices. Our food pantry, which is located on South Sheridan Road, will stay where it's at. We have no intention of moving that. So that's what the money will be used for. It'll be used to renovate this building, and we hope to do that within the next year to year and a half. Once we get the zoning changed, then we'll start out campaign. We're looking at it right now. We've with this addition to the money we have, we figure the whole project's going to cost us between 1.6 and 1.8 million. Right now, we're close to have rate. We got pledges, or not really pledges, but we have around between $500,000 and $600,000 with this $250,000 that the county has put in the budget for us. So, does anyone have any questions?
You know, the one thing, and I don't know how far back this goes, maybe I can remember, we pledged this money quite a few years back.
Yes.
5 or 8?
It's got to go 5 to 10 years back, and then we pulled it out of the budget because there was no...
There was no plan.
There was no plan.
Right.
And the
bottom line was, when we were ready and had a facility, that we would come back to the county. So.
Right. Is the city going to work with you?
The city is working with us as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus.
We're funding this with $125,000 of capital reserves and $125,000 of bonding. Right. It's all bonded money, but part of it is reserves, bonded reserves.
Any questions on that? Okay. Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gail.
You're welcome.
Down on the bottom there, the second to last line is the revenue number. It shows $675,000. The 125 that is the what Al was talking about, the reserves for the Shalom Center. The other $550,000 is capital reserves for the last project that's on this list. If you go back up there, there's Civic Center acquisition and parking expansion for $1,200,000. And Mr. Vosh and Mr. Swartz, we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we're going to do that?
We're going to do it.
And I just want to lead into that for a minute. This acquisition and parking expansion, what it is called there, the plan you're going to see here is going to be the purchasing of some properties that are near what we call the Civic Center, the courthouse, administration building, Mount Aaron building. And one example, and I'm sure they're going to show you and use, is the purchase that we made of the building just next to our administration building where we've been doing all this work. We purchased that building. If we hadn't purchased that, we wouldn't have been able to do the work on this building, and that is going to be an additional parking once we're done. The purchasing that we did at next to the Brook Center by this committee this past summer, we could not be expanding Brookside and have the parking and things that we need there. So these are things of vision that especially Mr. Bosch has brought forward to the county. Mr. Cruiser has come up with a plan. I have seen it, and it is we're going to see it here this evening. Okay, Bernie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I think that Mr. Schwartz, budget director, is going to introduce this in terms of where it fits in, although you've done...
I think the chairman has done most of it, but we have a board here, and we have a slide here. The board is the same as the slide. And it's basically an all-encompassing plan for $1.2 million, which is the acquisition of two buildings in the area currently housing attorneys, and then we own one piece of property on tax deed, and we own the next piece of property next to the courthouse, which we propose raising. But I'll turn it over to Mr. Bosch.
Yeah, the drawing here shows some of the buildings. This space over here is supposed to be the courthouse, the Molinaro building, the pretrial facility, the jail, and public safety building. Our administration building being renovated.
I don't know how to turn it. I put on my technical capabilities. Right. I tried, but I couldn't figure it out.
Go to view, rotate.
View, rotate? Rotate.
Thank you.
Okay, tell me when I get to the right place.
There you go.
Is that how you want it? That's upside down now.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Okay. Okay, I got it. One more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. View. Rotate.
Oh, I have to burn it.
How's that?
So it's not the end of the table.
Discuss the purchase of the two properties. Do you have more, Al?
No. Okay.
I was the lead negotiator for the purchase of the land, and I was assisted by the finance department, the facilities division, the land information office, and others in the county helping us out on this. But basically, these properties were listed for sale to the public, and the timing of it that we find ourselves in was advantageous to the county because, and I've included the a story from the Kenosha News that shows equalized values were at their high in 2008, and then because of the recession, they dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. And now this year, they're just starting to peak back up. So we find ourselves historically in a very unique position where, as a buyer of real estate and to protect our perimeter, give us some flexibility so we're not landlocked. We're looking at expanding the footprint of the downtown campus. There's another time factor that has fallen to our advantage, and that is that the owners of these two buildings, which are occupied only almost 100% by lawyers, are getting older and they're of retirement age and they'd like to sell these buildings. And when a county buys a building that's for sale offered to the public, we don't have to pay relocation costs. And that's a big deal. We don't have to exercise eminent domain. If we exercise eminent domain and we condemn these buildings, we'd have to pay relocation costs, which I included in the packet. That with the group right now, it would amount to about $200,000. Plus, if the difference between our offer and what the condemnation award would be more than 15%, we have to pay actual attorney's fees, and that adds up fast, especially when you're evicting or you're condemning two lawyers' law firms. So I figured that might be $50,000. So we're avoiding all that hassle and all that expense, which might be $250,000 if we were to do this when it's not offered to the public. But the properties we're talking about are 1100 and 1108 56th Street, which are shown in light blue. 1100 is the crosshatched light blue, and the 1108 is actually two parcels. One is the building, and the other one to the north is a parking lot. It's already a parking lot.
Well, this one.
Yeah, that's the parking lot. So the smaller, or the one in the crosshatch is about 3,000 square feet. The other one is a two-story building, and it's about 6,000 square feet. They both have basements, usable basements. And they both include, in the basements, a lot of racks for storing banker's boxes, files that we're obliged to keep as a county for a certain number of years, sometimes 7 years, sometimes 20 years, sometimes 99 years. And this is of importance to the clerk of court and others who have entire rooms and vaults full of records in the county properties.
the proximity to the county buildings we already have is of utmost importance, because if these were for sale 5, 6 blocks away, 7 blocks away, we would not be interested in them. But this is in our perimeter. Now, we also looked at the buildings in between. We own like the the courthouse, the KCAP, which is the next one is the brown one. We bought the law office of Murray Higgins Frost last year and knocked it down. That's where the cursor is now. And next to it, to the left or west, is the location of the unemployment office, which would be demolished for a parking lot in this sketch. The next property to the left, the pinkish one, was just sold. We missed that opportunity. I don't know if that was listed for sale, but that was a John Plow's family law firm owned that building, and they sold it. Now there's still some lawyers renting in the old office part, and there's some number of families renting in the residential dwelling of it. The purple one to the north, we started talking. Bob Fischotti owns that one. He's a lawyer in town. He's got lawyers renting from him and residents upstairs. We didn't get very far, so we haven't done anything with those two properties. This is an opportunity, though, that came about, and we pursued that, and by direct negotiations, we were able to make an offer subject to the approval of the county board, which is going to be in this budget resolution, the approval, to purchase those two properties. The prices I laid out in a memo to you dated August 9th. There was an initial offer. We initially offered below the current assessment, which is it's historic low price for the assessment right now. We offered below that. They offered their asking price. We went back and forth. On this property, on the 1100 property, we went back and forth, and we had the offer and 5 counter offers. On the next one, we had like 6 or 7 counter offers. And we ended up on the 1100 property, it was 9% over assessment. And on the 1108 property, it was about 10.9% over assessment. But if you look, I think it was probably at assessment, if you look at the price a couple years ago or where it's going in a couple years from now, because it's bouncing back up. I gave you the assessment information, the listing, the last sale price for 1100 was $280,000. Our purchase price, $267,500 on that one. And we did the same for the 1108 property. That one was assessed at $320,000. The offer on that second one includes both parcels, the parking lot and the other one. And we offered $288,000 to begin with, which is below the assessment. We ended up paying agreeing at $355,000, which is 10.9% over assessment. I go through the offer and the lease, both of which are long, but I'll go through any details of that tonight if you wish. The feature of the lease is advantageous to the county because while we have immediate plans to fill up the 1100 building with our people, we don't have the same plans for 1108. So the lawyers in 1100 are going to move to 1108 because there's mutual ownership by two of the members of the law firm for the 1108, and they've convinced their lawyers to move into 1108 from 1100. So the county's going to get for at least 2 years while we decide what's the best use of this building, rental income in the amount of $3,530 a month, maybe a little more if we can get more lawyers. There's some empty offices. plus they're going to pay a proportionate share of the utilities. We're going to try to close this this year if the county board approves the purchase, so that we're the owner as of the first of the year. And that makes it tax exempt for the whole year of 2015, which is thousands of dollars on each property. The future of the Kenosha County downtown campus is going to be enhanced with the purchase of that, with these properties, and give us the flexibility to move as we need to into whatever the future might bring, whatever the county board is faced with in terms of needs and the best use of properties in the downtown campus. If we hold back, as we, and I think if you look from a perspective of how the county has acted in the past three decades when I've been around, many times the county board has acted prudently and with foresight and vision, and the building we're sitting in today is a result of that vision. The KCAP building, the administration building, is a result of that vision. And as we have these opportunities that come up, and the timing is right. Now the prices are low and they're offering it to the public for sale, so we save money in two different ways there. It's really wise to invest in the future with this sort of purchases. If you wait and have to use condemnation to, as we did, as I guess the city did, but we benefited from it for the public safety building, it's a little more disagreeable to the community in some respects, but it also at that time, the county, the city did the condemnation, the county did the building for the public safety building, but the county also purchased some real estate nearby, again showing vision. It purchased what's now just south of the public safety building. It's a roadway and it's a parking facility up there, and they purchased a row of houses by negotiation. They thought that was a wise thing to do, and it turned out to be great because you wouldn't want a row of houses separating the county property from the public safety building. And I know that the future is not clear to us, but we know we're going to need land to expand. Letters of support are in the packet from former Chief Judge Wagner and current Deputy Chief Judge of the District, Tony Milosauskas, explaining that all the studies of courtroom spaces has shown Kenosha County should get two more courtrooms. And Racine has more courtrooms than us, and for some reason they were favored and they got the courtrooms and we did not. But it's only a matter of time. I think eventually our turn will come up, and they'll be giving us permission for a courtroom or two more because of the crime rates and the number of cases we handle in civil court. It's going to happen. It's just we don't know exactly when it's going to happen. In the courtroom, at the courthouse now, there are some spaces that could be reallocated for courtroom space, and that's what we'll probably do. And the people that have to move out, one of which would be my office and maybe some other offices, they would need a place to go. And if you're a court-related office of the county, it's nice to be located close to the courthouse. In our case, we work a lot with the courthouse every day, and we also work a lot with the administration every day, so it's nice to be somewhere in the area. We were on 3rd Avenue for a while, and that was okay, not perfect, okay? And for the current space, you have a letter in your packet from the district attorney's office showing that he has space needs in the Molinaro building. Right now, he shares the Molinaro building with juvenile court intake. And juvenile court intake could go into that blue squared building, that 1100 56th Street building right away, freeing up already pinched space by the district attorney. There's, in the basement of both of these places, is storage for archive files, as I mentioned, and the racks go with it. And the racks are no extra price, but they, if we were to try to replace them, it might cost as much as $10,000 per space. And we have needs for the 1100 right now, and we could use the other one, but the law offices are going to use, keep their archive files, which is what they do right now with the banker boxes. They keep those in the basement right now. So that's basically what the basement is going to be used for.
Anybody have any? They were probably pretty good for it.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions? Try the pool.
So you started off talking about the parking advantages, but then you said, you know, we're going to seek a long-term lease. And now it sounds like we might keep the building for other offices. So is it part of it going to be used for parking and yeah. The buildings left there?
Parking is in the rear right now. See it there? Where it says 4B.
Can't see showing there.
I'm going to put a whole parking when I go through the parking, raising the buildings and creating parking spots.
I'm just wondering, was the top dot up there, is that supposed to be the parking now?
You can't see this one.
No, I can't see.
Could you slide this one down?
Yeah, this one, yes.
Just right here. Put it right down there.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, I can see 4B.
Thanks, Bert.
Okay, 4B is parking right now, and there's some parking here too.
Mm-hmm. Are we planning to leave the buildings that are there or raise one of them? Or
For the next 2 years, we
plan on keeping the two buildings.
Yeah, we're going to keep the two buildings for 2 years. It's a 2-year lease. Mm-hmm. And that'll give us time to plan and whatnot. And I don't know if the best decision is to raise it, but that'll be up to everybody, you know, what they're going to do. But it's good to get control of it anyway. Now that it's offered for sale. There's also, you're going to talk about this green one?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the green one.
Yeah, I'll talk about parking, sort of, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure, but let's finish one thing with that. We're right in the pool.
I think it's all.
That's all I need. Okay. Any other questions on what we've been presented so far? Right,
Mr.
Blessing.
Mr. Bonney, on the, I guess it's 1100 and 1108, correct?
Correct.
Before you started the whole project, had there been discussions of how those spaces would be used? Because I remember hearing DA's a little bit cramped on space, and I think I heard another department that might be a little bit. Are those the first ones intended to move, or?
That's the executive's plan right now. There, because it was tentative and we weren't sure we'd come to agreement on terms, we haven't made any permanent plans on who is going to move when and where. But those are the preliminary. We talked with facilities, we talked with the district attorney and the judges, and those were the first ones we identified. It's not a permanent plan. I think that answers your question.
Yeah. If the DA or either a portion of it all, and he relocates. Does that free up space with regards to your comment or your courtroom expansion later?
Yes.
I'm trying to look a couple steps down the road here, not just what's immediately happening, because you're not going to expand the courthouse. There's nowhere to go. But there are facilities in there that might be relocated perhaps here. That's kind of part of the plan of the way you're going forward right now.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that might change, and that'll certainly be brought back to the board.
Understand. Now, when you're talking about the DA, is that 4A or is that building? Is 1100 or 1108? If you were going to.
The DA is not moving.
Okay.
No, the moving for 2 years.
The juvenile court intake may be moving fairly soon from the DA's building, which is the Molinaro building.
Okay.
So that'll free up a bunch of space for the DA.
Gotcha.
And then they slide.
So he'll just
juvenile court intake will slide over here into 1100.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And at 4A, you're gonna or 1108, or you're gonna be hopefully
renting.
Renting.
Yeah, for 2 years. Okay. And then if the, who knows what the best use of that is, I don't, we'll be thinking about that.
Okay, thank you.
I just have some of the cost figures and how we're kind of funding this project. First off, I want to talk about the unemployment building. I think you're all aware of where the unemployment building is on number 7. It's right in the, just to the west of the courthouse. It would be in this area right here. We would look at creating about 47 parking spots in that area. Right now, I think before they did the remodel, outside the administration building, there were about 17 or 18 free parking spots. So we'd be adding almost 20 there. The other piece is the Zanani building. I don't know if you're familiar. This was a sheet metal business there that went tax deed. Kenosha County does own that parcel. Regardless of what we do with it, we have to take it down. Mr. Schrant, I think you went in there, and there's a hole in the roof, and you can look right through. So we own that. We have to take it down regardless. We'd create some parking in this area here. Additional 28 spaces. But that's the whole project.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Is there a need to raise that building immediately?
Which one? The Zanani?
Yes, 181B.
Mr. Schrant, who's been in it? Well, let's put it this way, there's a hole you can see right through the sky. I mean,
no one is telling us, oh, I know this, but no one is telling us it has to be a great bathroom.
But I don't think it's a block building. I don't think it's a safe condition to have a block structure that has a 12 by 12 hole in it. I personally have not been in it. I've only been told. And it only makes sense. We probably would, even if we have it as a tax deed property, and we most likely would have to remove the building before we did anything with this parcel anyway. So it's best used for parking at this particular time.
There is a huge, if you do any daytime business down there, there's a huge
demand for parking.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Especially on jury trial days when a couple hundred jurors show up.
And any other question?
The unemployment building is filled with files, and those files would move over to the two buildings that we mentioned, the 4A and the 5. Bernie had mentioned that there's additional parking below. I mean, not parking, but storage below.
Any other questions? So we're at the pool.
Okay, on the 4A and 5 buildings there, are they in good structural condition and not needing any huge expenditures?
I'm not an engineer. I've not been through those, but one of our proposals in here is to use the rents to do any renovations or any upkeep we have to do in those buildings. The other piece is we do have money in this proposal to do some ADA bathrooms for the one building that juvenile intake or any county department would go into. So we'd be required to do that.
I don't remember seeing these buildings offhand, but they're not wood frame. They're actually...
The one is a brick building. The other one is partial brick and
steel and stone
windows. So there's,
so they have solid outside surfaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These guys can comment on those more than I can. The facilities guys.
Good one. Any questions? That's it.
Can I go through, Chairman, how we're going to fund this real quick? Just because we're going to use a lot of different sources. If you can look at the funding sources. We did sell the Ewell House. We're going to use the proceeds from the Ewell House. We're anticipating to get some net proceeds. Once we transfer the Heritage House to the city, we are going to sell some land to the DNR in the Valmar subdivision. We're going to use that money. The county board eliminated the gates at the public safety building. We're going to use that $60,000 from that. We have some additional reserves and some bonding money that we can reprogram, and the remaining amount we're going to bond for. But I just wanted to show you that we're using one-time money that we are ridding ourselves of land or selling land off or parcels off, and we're buying stuff in the area that we need it. So this basic plan makes sense.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't necessarily have a question. I want to commend you guys. You did a good job putting this together. However, funding sources from the Yule House, elimination of parking gates, and a few of these other things. I was hoping that was going to actually go back to the taxpayer, not just be repurposed right off the bat. Understanding that you're looking down the road a bit here, I don't see it as an emergency down there, but I'm not down there every day like you guys are, so I can't comment. When I've gone there, I've never seen a problem with parking. But it looks like you're adding a lot of parking area, so apparently there is a need there. However, it'd be nice just to see some taxpayer money go back to the taxpayer once in a while, rather than just be repurposed right back into another project right away. I do want to commend you for not bonding at all and for doing your due diligence on a lot of this stuff. I just don't see it as an emergency at this point in time, and I won't support this. Thank you.
Any other questions? Next, we have a motion on the facilities budget.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moving to second to approve the budget as proposed. Any questions? Otherwise, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Unless I'm counting wrong, I believe that's it.
Related question of facilities alignment here. The lot that we are not going to.
Bertie, thank you very much.
$60,000 into. Are we going to have that lot finished up and made usable, or what's the plan for 2015?
It is being used right now.
It looks the same as before, but no. I mean, are we doing the permits there, or what's going on?
The. Safety building people are, we're out of it.
So,
joint services.
Last I heard, the police department was issuing permits or stickers for their people, and the sheriff's department was issuing permits for
the stickers for their
people. So that's done.
Right. Yeah. That was the end result.
We're out of that loop. We haven't.
That's how it was resolved.
Thank you.
All right, motion to adjourn. Second. We're going to second to adjourn. All of the parents say aye.
Aye.
Jim, everyone, thank you very much.
Thank you.